If the light of his face shines upon you, it's close, it's at hand. Heaven is at hand. Heaven is near as the air you breathe. What we've done tonight so far, I like that term, so far. What we were doing tonight, we were worshiping. Now, we don't use a lot of words when we do worship because we find them distracting. That's what I was saying. I think the groans of your spirit can say so much more sometimes. They give utterance. The Holy Spirit and your spirit together give utterance to God from the depths of your being. Heaven is at hand. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus didn't say the kingdom is coming in 2,000 years when I return. He said the kingdom is at hand. Heaven is as near as the air you breathe. May the light of your face shine upon me. May the breath of God, may the ruach, may the breath of God fill you. Have you heard of the Ladies of the Golden Candlestick? They had a call on their lives. They had mission. They had purpose. They're like, got ready to go and do this and do that and do everything that other people were doing. And they felt God say, will you lay it all down and worship me? They said yes. They didn't say, but I had a plan. They said, yes, if that's your plan for me, that's what I'm going to do. They laid it all down for worship. These guys rebuilt their house, and in the basement, they made a place, they made room for a large group of them to worship. They met every night. They'd just go. They'd worship. But here's the thing. He was their agenda. They did not have perfect theology. They had good theology about worship. They only had the paradigm in which they lived up until that point, like church as they knew it, up until that point. But they threw it all away, and they just began to worship. I say they didn't have perfect theology because they had a really poor grasp of healing, for example. Healing was not their forte. Frances Metcalf, I think, was the leader, one of the head people. She was sick so much of her life. She, you know, yet they met, they worshiped. They gave themselves to highest praise. They wrote songs. They had prophetic songs come. They would, you know, they would write stuff on the piano. They would try to bring it. They would have to throw it away. They'd get one chord for 2 hours, and they would just worship their hearts out. But here's the beautiful thing. Something broke inside them, and something broke in what they were doing. And they began to have experiences with God that many of us have only dreamt of. They would get swept up in rapture. Now, we're not going back to 1600s, 1400s, 1300s, Madame Guyon, Teresa Villa, John of the Cross, Brother Lawrence practicing the presence. We're not going back then. This is like, you know, it's less than 100 years ago. Maybe it was not the 20s. Maybe it was the 40s. I don't know, 50s maybe. Anyway, wasn't long ago. corporately, the entire body of them, on one occasion, stepped into the throne room and were clothed with new garments of gold and finely woven silver. Amazing clothing that nobody would dream of making. And then they stepped back out into the basement, and they still had the garments on, and they got to hang them up in their wardrobes. Sometimes when they met, they would get this sense, oh, I think we're going somewhere today. And then they would step into the throne room of heaven, and they would be in the streets of Moscow, singing God's praises corporately, and do that for a while, and then they would step back into the basement. That's a stretch of the imagination, isn't it? You ready? Everyone do this? You like this? Ready? And we're gonna take authority over ourselves. Out, deaf and dumb spirit. Boom. You ready? We'll do it again. Okay, you ready? Out, deaf and dumb spirit. Boom. Okay. Do you remember Philip in the Bible? He's in the back with the eunuch, and he's talking. The guy says, tell me about God. He says, yeah, God's great, la, la, la. Takes him through the thing. Can I get saved? Sure, let's get saved. Let's get baptized, right? And then, boom, Philip was somewhere else. Lots of mercy. Heaven is as near as the air we breathe. We engage it by stepping out of this by not living here, but by living here. Brother Lawrence called it practicing the presence. He did not do it immediately. He had to practice the presence to begin to live out of his spirit. We are spirits who have a soul that live in a body. It's in the Bible. We're made in God's image, God's spirit, and we worship in his spirit and in truth. God is spirit. He gives us his spirit. He gives us of his spirit. He gives us a deposit of his spirit. We are spirits with a soul that feels, ow, in a body. We have a physical presence, but we are spirits. The issue is the matrix. This is very real. This is very convincing. We could easily think this is all it is. But we are spirits. We are spirits in a material world. I'm a police fan, I'm sorry. So connecting with God, we don't realize what we've just done. I just want to give you a paradigm. I want to give you a grid for worship. Worship is a doorway to releasing your spirit and living in your spirit. And because we are co-crucified with Christ and seated with Christ in heavenly places, it is a doorway to being at one once you learn the access. You can skip the method. If you don't realize that the method is the access point, you could easily believe that it's only when you worship that you experience the presence of God. Prayer is an access point. The Bible is an access point. You ever reading something? It's like, oh, yeah. And John did this, and John said that, and John said, whoa, Matthew, go downstairs and make toast for your wife. Whoa! Buddy, you can't believe what it says in the scripture. It says, go down. Wait a minute. Where is it? The words leapt off the page. They changed. They transformed. I felt the presence of God. He spoke directly to me. The Bible is an access point. Faith is an access point. I believe this chair is going to hold me up. I have very, very strong faith. I'm not going to do the invisible version. Faith is an access point. Okay? Once you realize that worship is an access point to be in your spirit, you can bypass it. You can be in your spirit. I wish I had a light switch. In, out, in, out, in, out, in, out. You can, you know that wonderful feeling where like you're in the group and you're in the groove and like, oh God, you're washing all over me. Oh, so nice. Your glory is all over me. Oh. You can let that out. Do you know that the frequency of the brain, which is like the residence of the soul, the memories, the emotions, right? It's a residence of the soul. The frequency of the brain, the electronic, magnetic, electrical frequency can be measured about a helmet away. But the frequency of the heart has a much greater sphere. Several feet. If I remember correctly, it's 7 to 10 feet. So you could be across the room and you could turn your heart of affection towards somebody and they can feel it. You could be in a train and you can see that lady over there and she looks so sad. And you could turn your heart of affection towards her and watch her mood change. I call it guerrilla evangelism. Are you getting this? Okay? We want to live out of here. We don't want to live in here, trapped in the confines of this body. We want to live out here. You know, superhero movies, you know? Do you see the guys with the telekinesis? They make a bottle of water move or something. That comes from somewhere. I don't believe that there's anything new under the sun. I think if you discover something new, you've probably accidentally, you've discovered something old that's been forgotten. That's just my feeling. I don't make a theology out of that, please. No bad blogs about me on YouTube, okay? Okay? I don't believe that when we create something here, that we're necessarily creating something new. I believe that we're tapping into a heavenly blueprint. Okay? This is my belief. Okay? Take it if you like. I believe that every cool thing that I've ever seen in a movie or a comic book or whatever has a basis and steeped in a reality of heaven. I believe that when you dream you can fly, it's because in heaven there are no limits of gravity and you can fly. And I know people on this earth. Do you know in the Eastern church, steeped in the kind of Eastern mystic, like India and Pakistan and, you know, the Christian churches out there, out in the East, Japan, China, if you are a Christian who has not levitated yet, you're not really going for it. Hello? You know, I believe that when you dream, I believe you're actually, your spirit is wandering, perhaps in the heavens. I have had lucid dreams where I'm doing things, and the next day a friend says, did you come see me in the night? My wife has had dreams, and she'll tell you some, where she has been in a foreign country preaching in Spanish. And at the end of the preach, she was lifted physically up. And when she kind of went at where the people were ants, she woke up. I believe that there's a reason for dreaming. I believe that it is our chance for our spirits to be unfettered from our soul and remember heaven. Before the beginning of the world, he knew you. Whoa. Before the beginning of the world, before creation, he knew me and he called me according to his purposes. Were we there? Were our eternal spirits with him before the beginning of the world, co-creating or even just watching? Whoa. When my children were three, they would say things to us like, can we play ping pong? And I'd say, you've never played ping pong before. And they would say, yes, I have. When I was in heaven, before I was born. And we would go, there's some truth in this. So anyway, the reason I'm getting to this is because we're believing a lie. We're trapped in a lie. It's a good one. It's very, very convincing. And we can spend the rest of our lives living out of this, thinking that this is it, and when this gets to a certain age, it will stop functioning properly. And then I will shed it like a snake. Ooh, wrong metaphor. And I will and I will go on the sky bus to heaven. But heaven is as close as the air we breathe. And if I turn into it, my provision can be drawn out of it. If we can live out of our spirits, we will be living vitally connected to the vine, abiding in the vine. We can practice the presence until we live 24/7 out of this. You won't need. And I'm not knocking door knocking, okay? So please hear my heart on this, okay? I'm not knocking street evangelism. I'm not. But you won't need a program. You will be a walking, living, walking, talking, power, spirit-filled sphere of his presence wherever you go. You will be the spirit of evangelism. When people get within your sphere of influence, they will contact Jesus. They will meet him. Oh. Which is the evangelist from the early 1900s? He would walk past a building. No, not Smith. He would like walk past a building. He's a real serious giver, serious face. He'd walk in, Finney, thank you. Finney. Smith Wigglesworth? Finney. He would walk in the building and production would shut down because nobody would be able to function because the power of God hit the building so hard. And they would fall to their knees, weeping, and give their life to Jesus. Whoa. 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 This also does something else. This also says, pointing to my brain, this also says can't, won't, afraid. This does not. Whoa. This says, but if I pray for her and she doesn't get healed, that could be very embarrassing. This says, there's a sickness in this person and I'm going to cast it out. Not me, but the power of God. But I'm going to do it. I am not just a hearer, I'm a doer of the word. Whoa. This is vital. This is important. This is even more than practicing the presence. This is more than devoting the life to worship. This is being worship. He put eternity in your heart. Your heart is the seat of the Spirit. He put eternity in your heart. It's not 80 to 120 years goodbye. It's 80 to 120 years here, conjoined with the body here, the soul and the body, spirit-wise. But the Spirit was eternal from the beginning of time to the end of time. If the Spirit is infinity, the Spirit must have been there at the beginning of time with him. If the Spirit is eternity, we have no concept of infinity. We don't. The brain can't get its head around infinity. A number divided by infinity is zero. Any number. I know this poor baby lived 5 days. Divided by infinity, zero. But I know this person in China who lived to be 120. Divided by infinity, zero. Our life is but a breath here. We've got to learn to live out of this now. There's so much more than meets the eye. In heaven, I've heard people say, colors have smell. I've heard people say, you can walk there in heaven if you want, but if you think about it, you'll be there. That's just like in my dream. In heaven, you can be communicating. In heaven, in my dream, if I see someone approaching me in my dream, I think, they're going to blah, blah, blah. And then they blah, blah, blah. Or I think, they're thinking this. And I realize they're thinking that. In heaven, we don't have to talk to each other. We can engage in conversation. That's fun. But we don't have to. We can look at somebody and know. We can have a whole conversation. Why are we waiting to heaven to do that? Anyway, colors have a smell. Do you know that when you see something, you're seeing light waves as a frequency enter your eye, get flipped over backwards, get turned back the right way around in your brain, and register as an image in your brain? But you're seeing light, so you're seeing frequencies. We've been diffusing some Young Living essential oils tonight. You smell them because they have a frequency. When you taste food, you taste it and you get some register in sweet and salt and bitter and the fourth one. And sour, thank you. But really, you taste food because of the smell and the frequency that enters. And food looks appetizing because of the colors, which are a frequency. And when you go near somebody, you can enter their range that they emit. Whoa. When you live out of your spirit, I call it mingling sometimes. That's my word I use for it. Like when two people have their spirits out, the spirits can just meet in the middle and mingle. I can actually feel you now. You're resisting. That's funny. I can actually feel the biting point of it here. Oh, that's great. Your spirit is amazing. We need to live out of our spirits, okay? I don't mean throw the Bible away. I absolutely do not, because all these revelations for me came out of there. Okay? This is the anchor point. Okay? But this is what I feel has been forgotten. This is the ancient path. This is the mystic way. You know, you hear this word mysticism, which has been stolen by the New Age movement because you know, the church threw it away at some point. Okay? Not all of it. Not all the church threw it away. I'm making a grand generalization. Don't blog nasty about me on YouTube. Okay? Don't make a theology out of it. Only Jesus has perfect theology. We've thrown so much away. And it's really sad. And, you know, we want to rediscover the mysteries of God. But this is, to me, this is the first, this is the most important one. Everything hinges on this. The ladies of the golden candlestick went where they went. They would get covered in gold dust. They would have gems. They'd come back with gems. They'd come back with crowns, physical crowns. They'd come back with cool stuff. They do, oh my goodness. They're my heroes. I like them. You know, Jason Westerfield, oh. He was being interviewed once, and he said, the guy who was talking, he was talking about his spirit and being in his spirit, and he was saying, you know, you get to a point where you can actually bring your body with you. And the guy said, what do you mean? He said, like this. And he stepped and disappeared in front of the interview guy. He just went like, whoom, and he was gone. And he paused for a few seconds, and then he whoomed back. And the interviewer was just like, whoa. Our friend. Okay, so that was Jason. Okay, so now this isn't 1950s Ladies of the Golden Candlestick. This is a now guy. Okay? And when I talk about the church and levitation in the Far East, that's now. Okay? You know? I don't want you to make a theology out of its levitation, although if you're really honest, wouldn't that be cool? You know? Wouldn't it be cool to, like, you know, have to walk into your church on a Sunday morning with a veil over your face and a hoodie because your face was glowing? And everyone's going, whoa. Dude, take your hat off. Okay, maybe you don't want that one. I don't know, you know. I mean, would you know, could you imagine if you started to just bleed out of the palm of your hand and it never stopped? How do you hide that? You know? Okay, maybe we just want levitation. I don't know. You know, who would like to walk through walls? You know? I think that'd be really cool. We have this joke about translocation. We really believe in translocation. You know, translocation, you know, like, you know, I do this and I'm in California, you know, that kind of thing. You know, the ladies of the golden candlestick showing up in Moscow or China or whatever. Okay, now it would be really cool. It is scriptural. Jesus appeared in the room. Either he went, hey guys. Or he walked through the wall. Hey guys. You know. Does it matter which one? We have our joke. Our joke is, because our family live in the States, so our joke is, hey mom, where are you? In the living room? Okay, don't freak out. Womp. Have you got a cup of tea? Put it down for a minute, you know. Our friend, Millie, she practices the presence. She's good. Oh, man. Yeah. So she was there washing dishes, and she just felt caught up in a moment. Her mom's watching her, and half of her body dematerialized. And her mom went, yeah! And she went, oh, and snapped back, you know. And one time when she was at work, she got sucked up into a moment with him. And all it is getting so far into the spirit that you actually take your body with you. That's all it is. Out, deaf and dumb spirit. Boom! And she realized she had gone deep. She knew she was playing hard that day. And she went, oh. She's like, okay. She's trying to think herself back into her body. And she was having a bit of trouble. So she thought, I know. God wouldn't embarrass me. I'll walk into my colleague's office. In she goes. And he goes, then she snapped back into her body. It's hilarious. Anyway, okay, maybe you don't want to go that far yet, okay? You know, I do warn you, it's a slippery slope, though, you know. Jesus is very, very addictive. You know, you begin to get, you know, use your trigger point. Let me be practical for a minute. Find your trigger point. For most people, it's worship. You know, I used to take the train back and forth up to London and back, half an hour, 35 minutes each day. I'd have my iPod, a couple songs I knew were trigger points for me. I'd just be like, oh. You know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going deeper and deeper with you. You know, I had to say to Holy Spirit, please, just nudge me at my stop. And God would tease me as I was sometimes, I mean, there was one time, every step I took close to the train, as we're getting the train, I mean, the train was like there, I was here, walking down the platform, and I started to go slower and slower because every step I took, this panic came over me. Today's the day. I'm going to ride up and down from Portsmouth to Victoria all day long in a trance on the train. And I actually paused at the door and I had to say to God, okay, if that's what you want, I'm willing. It was that moment of surrender that he said, nah, it's okay. I just wanted to know if you would. It's great. Ha, ha, ha. Find your trigger points. Another trigger point for us, for me, is frankincense. Whoa. One of the oils we've been burning tonight is frankincense. It's awesome. The smell of it, oh, it's just a trigger point for me. Actually, I also have a drop or two under the tongue. The taste of it has become a trigger point for me. Before I go to bed at night, I remember Ian Clayton teaching to use this verse, and I take my Bible and I say, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, capable of dividing soul and spirit. And spirit, you are free to disengage from the soul. And while I sleep, you are free to roam in the heavens. Because whilst my body's sleeping, you don't need to be here. You can be engaging with the Father right now. And I got my frankincense, and I've did my thing, and I go to bed, and my dreams are off the charts. And I'm just a guy. We are not people who advocate going for experience sake. You understand what I mean? We are people who want to live out of our spirits because we want to live as God created us. He made us in his image. Is he a man? Jesus is a man sitting on a throne, but what is God? God is a spirit. So when I'm talking about living out of your spirit and using the power of God, and I'm talking about these fun things. I know these things are controversial. See, I know they are. I wonder why they're controversial. Because Jesus did them. And I know that not every one that Jesus did was sovereign. I don't think that Jesus begged the Father to step into the upper room to meet with the guys. I'm pretty sure Jesus did it. Now, Jesus did it as a man. This is very important. Jesus is a man. Fully God, fully man. But if he's fully man, and he was allowed to do these things, if he was allowed to come back from the dead, but what's his source? God. What's his first love? God. His first passion? God. What does he do in the morning? Meets with the Father. Does he go out and heal anybody before he's met with the Father? No. How does his day pan out? He's met with the Father. He's full of the Father. He's living in the Spirit. He's living out of the Spirit. He's in constant communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he's out there. Now, did he pray and see how the day would pan out? Possibly. Because if he's an eternal being, he knows the beginning from the end. He could see the whole day as a tableau before him. Did he go into the heavens and commune with the Father and say, Father, what do you want me to do today? Perhaps on one occasion God said, go have fun, heal the sick. Walk on water today. Maybe that conversation happened. I don't know. I'll ask him. Maybe he saw how the whole day should pan out and then went and lived it out. Maybe God said, you know that woman by the well? You really must go talk to her. Maybe, however, being so fully God, so fully man, so in tune with Father, so in the power of the Holy Spirit as a human being on earth, maybe so as not to be a robot, but to be a fully man, i.e. having free will and the ability to choose, maybe he was allowed to choose to heal the sick. I know there are many times that it says he did it out of compassion. I don't think he was supposed to do it yet in that one verse. He did it out of compassion. He chose to do it. He knew it would be blessed. Maybe he walked on water because that was the best way to go. And he chose to do that. Did he actually physically walk on the water, or did he, being in his spirit, did he just walk in the spirit, because in the spirit, the water, it doesn't matter whether the water's there or not. He's in the spirit. He's walking. Maybe when he entered the upper room, you get me? Do you understand? The only reason I'm using those as examples is because I'm trying to build a new paradigm for us. This is what's important. We're an eternal spirit. We have a soul. Why do we have a soul? Thoughts, will, mind, emotions. Are we robots? No, we have choice, right? Why do we have emotions? Emotions tell us if something that's coming against us, if we need to put a boundary up. But emotions are good. They're a good thing. Can you live by your emotions and go wrong? Yes, you can. Why do we have bodies? I don't know. Eating's nice. Running's nice. Touching, smelling. Go back to the oils again. It's all good. It's nice to look at things. It's good. Feeds the spirit. I put it to you that if you want to fast track on what you should be doing for him, I put it to you, my revelation, that you need to get in your spirit and then ask him. I know that there are libraries in heaven. I've seen them. And every day of your life is written in a book of destiny with your name on it. And you can go read it if you want to. Would I do it without Jesus? No, I wouldn't trust it. Never. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Will I make a plan without him anymore? No, I will not. Because I might have some fruit from it. I can bring my little shriveled raisins to him. And he can go, "Oh, that's so cute. But you were supposed to bring me a basket full of grapes." "Oh, how was I supposed to do that, Father?" "Let me show you." Right? Let me close with this. If you could have a gift of the Spirit, think about the gift of the Spirit for a minute that you would like, you know, healing, wisdom, words of knowledge, miracles, you know, hospitality, you know, there are loads of them. If you could have a gift of the Spirit, what's the one that calls to you most? What's the one that pulls on your heartstrings? Oh, that one. What's the one that, as Chris Vallotton says, the dogs of doom stand outside the gateway of destiny barking, trying to prevent you from going through that doorway? What's the one that you don't dare think about? Because it hurts you too much to think about it. Because it scares you to think about going and doing that. That's probably the one. Okay? But let me ask you this. If you could operate in that gift once, or twice, or three times, a lady, or you could operate under the spirit of healing, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of words of knowledge, the spirit of might. Which would you choose? Wouldn't it be better to co-labor with Christ, operating under one of the spirits in whatever he's called you to do? Wouldn't you be abundantly, exceedingly, do more than you could ask or imagine? Whoa. And whether you have to walk through a wall to get to somebody to heal them or not, doesn't really matter. But I will tell you this. There are many freedoms that we take for granted right now. We believe that we have the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and the freedom to meet. Laws keep changing. Do you realize that right now, laws are changing subtly behind the scene that actually make meetings like this, will make meetings like this no longer protected? We will no longer have the right to meet like this necessarily. Do you know in China, they have to meet secretly and underground? Do you know that a Bible is so precious there because the Bibles are forbidden to enter the country because of the laws that have changed, the laws that are there? How will we get to China to teach them? How will we get into the heart of the Arab nations to be the presence of God and speak the word of Christ when we are forbidden through the borders? Because Christians have to begin to wear a cross stamped on their sleeve like the Jews once had to wear Jewish stars. How will we get around? How are we going to take Christ to the nations if we keep living out of here and thinking this is all there is? And don't live out of here. And don't begin to embrace everything else. I put it to you, and this is my revelation, and I'm not teaching it as a theology, but I put it to you that if we do not embrace the things of the Spirit and begin to live out of the Spirit, we will never walk in the fullness of the destiny that He has for us. We will never begin to find the right and true path where we are allowed to choose to step into a hidden underground Christian gathering in the center of Tehran, Iran, where they're crying out to God, send someone to teach us because we don't have a Bible and we don't know. And we sovereignly embrace that and we willingly choose to sacrifice self and translocate and step into their midst and bring them the word of God that they need and heal them because they've all been beaten and bruised for being Christians in that place, and then step back out into our world. Very sci-fi, I know. Anyway, very heavy. Sorry, such a heavy ending. La 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 la.
Jesus riding to